In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. I come from a modest background. I didn't grow up in luxurious surroundings. I almost always wore hand-me-downs, and my sisters and every female cousin of a certain age seemed to be wearing the same dress in all of our kindergarten pictures. I was the youngest of that particular group of cousins, and that dress was a little limp when it got to me, but it did the trick. But no matter. We had shelter, we had clothing, we had love, and we always were well fed. The truth is, my family likes food a lot. We talk about our next meal as we eat a meal. We do talk about other things, but food often is at the top of our list. Even at my Aunt Betty's funeral, we talked about the family sauce and how it was made. And my most heartfelt apologies to my mom. But I think that whatever Aunt Betty did to that sauce, wow. Maybe it really is that pound of butter. In my family, food isn't just sustenance. It is comfort. It is a reminder of good times long gone, as well as those who have gone before us. There is actually an entry in the dictionary for comfort food. It is a noun and defined as food that provides consolation or a feeling of well-being, typically any with a high sugar or other carbohydrate content and associated with childhood or home cooking. Wikipedia says that comfort food is food that provides a nostalgic or sentimental value to someone and may be characterized by, guess what, its high caloric nature, high carbohydrate level, or simple preparation. But rather than focus on stress eating or the high sugars and calories, I'd like to focus on a few other words in these definitions. Well-being, nostalgic, sentimental, value, and simple. Bread is a pretty simple thing. You just take a little flour and water, a pinch of salt, and maybe even some yeast, and ta-da, you have bread. Now, for those of you who know my cooking acumen, remember, I do like toast, so I know my bread. It is not only simple, but also a staple. This isn't anything new. Bread was a staple of the biblical diet. The book of Sirach calls it essential, and this appears to come from the phrase staff of bread, implying that bread enables one to walk. This is so much the case that bread often just means food, and the phrase by bread alone means by food alone. In fact, recent discoveries show that society may have become agrarian and settled just to grow wheat for bread. And wine, well, for many, that is a staple as well. When I went to college, I never had the desire to drink to excess because I had had wine since I was a child. Whenever we had spaghetti, we were given a little bit of wine in a glass of 7-Up. And the pink in that drink was barely discernible, but it was there. We never had spaghetti without having some Italian bread with it as well. So there you have it, a simple meal with which we always had bread and wine. Today at the Eucharist, Bill will consecrate the bread and the wine. Just what does that mean? So Wikipedia got me through seminary, so I'm going back to that again. Simply enough, consecration is the solemn dedication to a special purpose or service, usually religious. The word consecration literally means association with the sacred. Persons, places, or things can be consecrated. The origin of the word comes from the Latin word consecrat, which means dedicated, devoted, and sacred. We take ordinary things and turn them into something extraordinary in remembrance of Christ's sacrifice for us. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." By the mere acts of thanking and blessing with the intent of praising and worshiping God, we consecrate. In essence, we are in a place where even the things that we use are consecrated for the moment during the Eucharistic prayer when we place our hands over the bread and the wine. What if we were to do this every waking moment? What if we were to add every day and every action to the list of things that we consecrate? And I don't mean playing church and handing out Necco wafers to all of the Protestants in the neighborhood. That was a practice that made my mom laugh when she saw the Methodist Goodwin twins, always with black eyes and broken limbs, waiting angelically for their white Necco wafers. It takes a lot of rolls of Necco wafers to get a lot of white ones, by the way. But what if we were to take the ordinary day and thank and bless in praise and worship of God? What does it say in Ephesians? "Put away from you all bitterness and wrath and anger and wrangling and slander, together with all malice, and be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ has forgiven you. Therefore, be imitators of God as beloved children, and live in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." Many of you have heard me talk about St. Thérèse of Lisieux. She is in my Saints Hall of Fame. She was one of the saints who influenced my young life simply because my grandmother had a beautifully framed picture of her in my mom's childhood bedroom. What I later learned was that she belonged to my great-great-grandmother, and she must have bought this picture of the saint when she was canonized in 1925. And when his mother-in-law died, my great-grandfather tossed St. Thérèse's frame and all into the trash. Not a sentimental one, that one. My grandmother found her and put her on the wall. If you've ever seen the classic picture of St. Thérèse, she looks like a movie star holding a bouquet of roses, long-stemmed roses. And my mom never missed a chance to talk about the saint's little way. Thérèse strove for sainthood, but she knew she would not do grand things. Instead, she did everything with great love for God and for her sisters, many of whom seemed a little intolerable. Best way to describe the little way is with the following quote from St. Thérèse. "I understand that every flower created by him is beautiful, that the brilliance of the rose and the whiteness of the lily do not lessen the perfume of the violet or the sweet simplicity of the daisy. I understood that if all the lowly flowers wished to be roses, nature would no longer be enameled with lovely hues. And so it is in the world of souls, our Lord's living garden." She continues, "Holiness consists simply in doing God's will and being just what God wants us to be." What if we were to take a page from St. Thérèse's book and merely once a day carry one of our sacred Sunday moments into our life? What if we were to develop our own little way, making every moment an act done in great love as God intended to be? The simple made sacred. Bread and wine living within us and carried out into our worlds to be reunited when we gather again. As St. Thérèse said, "I am convinced that one should tell one spiritual director if one has a great desire for communion. For our Lord does not come from heaven every day to stay in a golden ciborium. He comes to find another heaven, the heaven of our soul in which he loves to dwell. Every day, sacred. Amen.